Why don't we have a word of prayer, and then we are going to show a short video clip, and then we will jump into the message. So let's look to our Heavenly Father in a prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just say thank you again for the students who ministered to us in the service today. Lord, I know a number of them they're kind of nervous. But Lord, I thank you that they powered through that and in turn were a blessing to the church. Lord, I just thank you for each of them for serving you and being a blessing to us. Heavenly Father, we also thank you for the folks who are represented on the ornaments on the flowers. Lord, we are a blessed church to have had so many and have so many faithful, God-honoring people. So we just thank you for that. And Lord, we pray as we step into the word portion of the worship service that you would use your word today to encourage each of us, challenge each of us, and again, serve as a reminder to us of what this Christmas season is all about. Again, we thank you and praise you for your word, for preserving it for us so that we might live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Oh, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I got to get a grip. I got to tell people. That's what I gotta do. I gotta go tell people. I gotta share the news. I gotta let them know that who's gonna listen to me, huh? Who's gonna listen to me? I mean, it's not like I have any kind of reputation. People don't give me two looks, and I'm gonna be the one. I'm gonna be the one to talk about angel sighting and Messiah's coming. Okay. No, I just gotta put my manners on. That's it. I can put my manners on. I gotta talk right. That's it. And then I gotta clean up. I can do that. I can clean out under my fingernails. There's no hiding this man. None of it makes sense. Maybe that's it. He said, good news. Good news of great joy for everyone. Because the Savior was born today in Bethlehem. He said we'd recognize him by a very specific sign. He said that baby would be wrapped in cloths and lying in a... And this was the kicker. That baby would be lying in a manger. A Messiah in a feeding trough. Oh. I mean, even my family was better off than that. We didn't have two sticks to rub together, but at least I had a bed to lay my head in when I was a kid. I've been waiting my whole life for this Messiah. And now it seems he may be more like me than I ever thought possible. Yeah, I think that angel got it wrong. This ain't good news. This is the best news ever. Come on, boys.
All right, Luke chapter 2, if you could turn there, or Luke chapter 1, rather, if you could turn there with me. I had it right the first time. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We're going to read about that encounter with the angels and the shepherds. I bet you didn't know that the shepherds wore cowboy hats and had big mustaches, did you? But Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 20 is one of, well, it's an often read chunk of scripture around the Christmas season. But this is my personal favorite chunk of scripture in regards to the coming of Christ. And I love the interaction between the shepherds and the angels and the shepherds and Mary. But it says this starting in verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. Could you imagine that? But here they are out in the peaceful hillside listening to sheep and smelling sheep. And suddenly an angel, poof, stands in front of them, and it says they freak out, right? They're terribly frightened. They're terrified. They don't know what's going on. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people." I think that phrase is one we could underline in our Bibles if you're a scribbler. All the people. Verse 11. For today in the city of David there has been born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, as if one angel wasn't scary enough, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." I imagine the fear kicked in a little extra there when the multitude showed up. Verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then. We got to go see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Let's pray, if we could, before we jump into this. Heavenly Father, again, may you bless the reading of your word. May you bless our time in your word. And Lord, may your name be glorified today. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, it's not uncommon for people to feel unworthy of a gift or of something that is too good to be true. But we find here, as we step into this chunk of scripture, something that I think is so beautiful that must not be lost on us during the Christmas season, is that as the angel shows up and speaks to these terrified cowboy hat wearing shepherds, what do they say? They said, "Hey, calm down, release the fear, because we have for you good news of great joy, and guess what? It is for all people." It is for all people. It's for people that we might not necessarily pick out to be the one to be receiving the best news the world had ever heard. But that's not how God works. He doesn't pick the ones that we think are the most called, the most qualified. He doesn't pick the people with the most money in the bank accounts. Oftentimes, he speaks to the most humble first. And the fact that the first evangelists within the pages of Scripture were blue-collar, dirty-fingernailed, callus-filled, working men who smelled like sheep should not surprise us. And as he appears to them, I do wonder, some of what we saw play out on the screen behind us here, if there wasn't a little bit of angst in regards to why in the world would these angels appear to us? Why in the world would they entrust us with this message? But God is not tied down to a methodology that is attached to the way it's always been and therefore the way it always should be. And I think we have to release that thought process, especially as children of God, because God shows up in the most unlikeliest of circumstances. We talked about this a little bit last week, right? And he uses the most unlikeliest of people regularly. And he still does. In fact, there's people in this room who serve on Sunday that if you could go back into their history and tell the people that were with them then that they would be faithful servants in a church and that they would live a life that was worthy of the calling that God had called them by, and that they would be raising their children according to the ways of the Word of God, the people then in their past would say, there's absolutely no possible way that will happen. But guess what? God doesn't care. He's not worried about popular opinion. And we see that as we look through the pages of Scripture regularly, right? We're talking about the waiting, people waiting for the coming of not an aunt or an uncle, but of Christ, right? The Messiah, the Savior of the world. And as we look at this, it just doesn't really make sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 speaks of this reality, though, that God doesn't do things according to how we have them often planned out, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 27, it says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and despised God has chosen. The things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are. So that no man or woman, I think we could add to that, right, may boast before God, but by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, I'm sure as these shepherds collected themselves on this hillside that there wasn't a whole lot of boasting going on of, look at us, look who we are. All right, they were the bluest of the blue-collar workers at the time, right? They were people who may have embraced the mantra, right? It's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, right? Oftentimes, they kind of stuck to themselves because, you know, they were living out on the hillside and therefore became to some the untouchables within society. But you know what? That's who God said, I'm going to share my message with. Why? because it echoes the reality of that statement so well. That the good news of great joy was to who? All people. Just about the time we think that we can become prideful of our spirituality or our holiness or our piety, God reminds us that there is no pride to be found because everything we have is a result of His grace. We see that here, tucked within the very beginning of the message of the life of Christ. And we find, though, I think another truth that we struggle with quite often as we approach this, that when God shows up, the immediate response is typically not understanding. It isn't joy, even though the message is joyous. It's one of fear. Right, we see that here in verse 9 and 10. It says, And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And what? They were slightly scared? Now let's pause for a minute. Have you worked blue collar with tough guys at all? They aren't scared guys. At least they don't admit it. Right, I spent a few years at a lumber mill. Manly men, right? Manly men, and if you weren't a manly man, you would get mocked probably until you quit, because that's the kind of place it was, right? But these guys were not sitting up on the hillside talking about their fears. They weren't crying in front of their friends, right? They weren't singing kumbaya around the fireplace. But immediately an encounter with something that had been in the presence of God drew them to a place of fear where I don't know that they had been in quite a while, or at least admitted to each other they had been in. But it says they were terribly frightened. They were freaking out. Not just a little fear, they're overwhelmed with the reality of what they're seeing. And the first portion of the message, which actually is kind of normal when angels show up in the scriptures, is don't be afraid. Right? There's good news to be heard. So calm down. And what is the news? It's good news of great joy. It's the kind of news that can affect your heart. It's the kind of news that can give you a new outlook on life. It's the kind of news that can change your entire perspective of who you are and how you live. But it's interesting, as we, you know, step back from that a little bit, that fear is one of the biggest and most effective strategies that Satan can use to grab a hold of the eyesight and mindset of people that the Lord desires to fill with joy. And I would venture to say this morning that there are probably people in this room that God desires to live out a life of joy and rejoicing and resting in the reality of the good news, which is Jesus, of the good news that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, of the good news that our Savior will never leave them or forsake them. God desires us to have that, but we are rather living out a lie that we have bought by Satan, and we are controlled by fear. And if we were to look at John chapter 10, we see a little bit about Well, a little bit. There's a lot. We're not going to go into all of it. But John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, we find the parable of the good shepherd, which refers to Christ as the shepherd, but it plays back and forth a little bit with what the enemy is looking for as well. And, verses 10 and 11, it says this: the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly. I, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He says the thief comes in what? To steal, to kill, to destroy. But God's desire, he says, is this. Christ's desire for you is this. It says that you may have life and have it abundantly. And you know what? He says, well, basically, what have I done? Also, as we read into that, I have laid down my life so that you could have that. Right, so as followers of Christ, we aren't ever going to get out of the protection and grasp of the Good Shepherd. I believe that. I believe John chapter 10 teaches that. I believe the rest of the scriptures teach that. But the reality is our enemy knows this. He knows that he can't steal your soul. However, what he's going to do then is he's going to try and steal your joy. Why does he come in? John chapter 10, he comes in to rob, to steal, to kill, to hurt, to harm, to lie, right? He's the father of lies, we're told in Scripture. And his desire is if he cannot have you, he just wants to harm you. Right? He knows he can't steal your soul, but he's going to continue to try to steal our joy. And imagine if it had stopped there, right? The story, the angel shows up. The shepherds are terribly afraid. And the angel says, hey, don't fear. And the shepherd says, are you kidding me? Have you seen this? It's freaking me out. So I don't really want to hear the message today, angel. I just let me get back to life as normal because I just can't handle the fear. I can't handle this stuff. But reality is that was a crazy supernatural occurrence. You know, we even saw the shepherd up on the screen saying, hey, none of this even makes sense. But, you know, I believe that there are tons of things as we consider this message of joy that God desires all of us to hear. It says it's for all the people. There are tons of things that can steal our joy in this world, aren't there? Or it might be a message that you get, a negative message that you get on social media, right? I mean, that's a thing, right? It happens. Some of you are like, I don't even know what social media is. Good for you. You're probably more joyful because of it. All right, it could be a notice in the mail that says, you're past due. Or maybe it's a notice from a lawyer's office saying, hey, we're coming to find you, right? We need your money. Maybe it's a quarterly financial statement that basically says that your plans aren't going to happen. It could be anything, right? The enemy will use whatever he can to get in and creep in and kill and destroy your joy. And I think that's part of the reason why we have to revisit, as people that do live in a fallen world, who do live with messed up stuff and painful situations and frustrations on a regular basis, if you want to live a frustrated life, it's very easy. You don't have to look far. Just watch the news every day. That's all you got to do, right? It's not hard, right? But the responsibility of us as God's people, I believe, is to pause with moments such as this. Step back into the why behind the message, right? Step back into the reality of what God's desire is for all people. is that they would have an encounter, the reality with this message. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of what? Great joy. There is a Savior that has been born. And this message is for everyone. And let's never lose sight of that reality, right? That this message is one of great joy. The reality of who Jesus is this Christmas season should radically change your outlook on life. If it doesn't, I'm not sure you know the Jesus we're talking about. Take that how you will. Because when Jesus shows up, if we were to follow the narrative of his life through the Gospels, what we find when Jesus shows up, stuff changes and happens everywhere he goes, including your life. Right? If you have acknowledged Jesus and asked him into your life as your Savior, things will change. Something will change. I'm not saying everything's going to be perfect, but changes will happen. And part of what we need to do is, as we step into this Christmas season, and a lot of us maybe are struggling in this room with things that really aren't joyful, the fact that there are people that we won't celebrate Christmas with, and that's painful, right? The fact that there's things in life that have happened or mistakes have been made, and it's just hard. We can still rejoice over the reality of who Christ is in the moments of biggest fears, like those shepherds. We need to step back and we need to hear the message from heaven, which says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son because he loves you. Because he desires a relationship with you. Let's rest in that. The message of Christmas is that we had no hope, and now we have joy. Don't be a sour, grumpy Christian, right? Don't be that person. You have reason to have hope. You have reason to have joy. You have reason to rejoice. And part of that reason is found in the reality of 2 verse 10, which I know we've read it a bunch. We're going to read it again because I think we need to hear this. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for who? All the people." I love that phrase. All the people. Everyone. God didn't make a list like the enemy makes the list. Sometimes we believe the enemy's list. The enemy says, you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not wealthy enough, you're not good-looking enough, you've made too many mistakes, so you know what, therefore, you will never be worthy. And my God says, you know what? The message of joy breaks through all that garbage. Satan is the father of lies, and he is going to do everything he can to rob you of a joy that God says is for who? All the people. There's a reason when God says, I'm going to send a messenger from heaven, and he's, you know, I don't know if he's talking with the angels. You know, he calls them in, and he says, hey, angels, here's what we're going to do. I've got a job for you. They're like, okay, what's the job, Lord? And they said, all right, you're going to go down, and you're going to announce to some people that the Savior of the world has come and been born, and that life on the planet Earth will never be the same. And you're going to announce that someone's coming that can radically transform the course of human history, and that nothing will ever be like it was, and that people can find forgiveness for their sin, and they can find purpose in their life. And the angels are like, yes, yes, yes! Who are we going to tell? And God said, you're going to go down to a hillside, and you're going to find a group of ragtag shepherds. They're dirty. They haven't showered in a week because their wives aren't shepherds. you know, you're going to go down there, and when they're scared, they may say some words that people would find offensive in church. And I wonder if the angel's like, wait, well, and I know this wouldn't happen because they wouldn't question God, but my imagination, right? Lord, have you considered Jim? He's super influential in Bethlehem. Jim's got a big house. He's got great kids. His wife is the president of the PTA. Jim runs a successful business. He's very generous at church. Lord, have you considered him? And the Lord would have looked at those angels and said, are you serious? Did you not hear what I said? The message is, that it's for all people. And I really don't care about impressing anybody that's not on the list of what you think the list should be. And the reality is, I think that's something that we need to hear both for us and how we view other people in this Christmas season. Number one, God is not looking at you with a checklist. If you're one of his children, he's looking at you as a father. And he loves you. And he desperately wants what's best for you. And he wants you to experience a life of joy that you can only have when you say yes to him. And if you don't know my Jesus, God's looking at you under the all the people phrase, and he sees somebody that can have that joy. I believe that. He's looking at somebody that he says, look, whoever will call upon the name of Jesus can be saved. And he desires a relationship with you. He desires to adopt you into his family and to say, you know what, this is my child. See, that's the message. When we consider the joy, that we consider the all people statement, that there is nobody in this room that the message of Christmas shouldn't affect. There's also nobody in our communities or in this world that our Savior didn't die for. Now, that statement forces us to hit head on some of how we live and what we believe. Because all the people means all the people. All the uncomfortable people, all the sinful people, all the dirty people, all the fill the blank in. All the people. And I wonder if we really believe that. On both ends. Do we really believe we're all the people? Or do we believe we have something that stands in the way? Do we really believe that the people in this world that are labeled the undesirables and who are mocked in our conversations at our break room tables really are also all the people? And until we grab a hold of the reality of that message in verse 10, we're going to have a hard time really understanding the whole message of the gospel, that there is no sin too big that my God can't break it down, break through it, change a life. And I would challenge you, as we think about this, as we walk into this Christmas season, that not only did God choose those that we might view as lowly to hear the message first, he chose to use them to allow other people to hear the message for the first time as well. When we get to the end of this chapter, verse 17, it says, when they had seen this, seen what? Baby in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things that were told them by the shepherds. So who was the them there? Mary and Joseph and whoever else is hanging around at that time. Verse 19, but Mary treasured all these things in her heart, pondering them in her heart. Verse 20, then the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. Everybody they encountered heard about the reality of the Messiah being born. And you know what? These guys were never the same, ever. Because an encounter and an understanding of the message of great joy, which is that there's a Savior that's been born that can save his people from their sins, that the reality that that message is not just for me, even though I need to make it personal to myself, but it's for all people, also I believe for the shepherds, would have changed how they viewed everybody in their world. Every conversation you have as a child of God matters. How we talk about other people, how we view other people, reflects whether or not we believe the all the people statement is really true. I would venture to say a lot of people don't. Again, turn on the TV. But my God does. And my God desires a relationship with you. And he desires to transform your life. And he desires that your life would be a reflection of joy, showing off to the world how great our Savior is. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you that you used people that we might view as lowly, that you used people that we might not have chosen. Lord, that you didn't care what the list of standards of the day were, that you said, you know what, I can use whoever I want. And in fact, I desire to use these shepherds. And Lord, I thank you that you used that to show us that your message of joy truly is for all the people. You illustrated that. And Lord, even in the very birth of Jesus, you showed humility. And Heavenly Father, I would pray that you would break through our hearts, that you would break down barriers in our lives, Lord, that if we are maybe believing a lie that we aren't in the all the people, Lord, that you would break through and say, yes, I died on the cross for you too. Lord, that if we would never say that God sent his son to be a sacrifice for all people, we would never say that didn't happen, but Lord, how we talk about other people says that. Lord, I pray that you would convict us. Lord, that if we have certain people that we do not view as targets of your grace and your love and your forgiveness and your mercy, that we would repent. And Lord, that we would learn to see people through the eyes of Jesus. Lord, bless your people. And Lord, may you fill us with your joy. Lord, we thank you that we are beneficiaries of your grace and your love. And Lord, we thank you that we get to celebrate the birth of a king. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.